family. We'll go ahead and begin at this time. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the At-Large Ad Hoc Working Group on IANA Transition and ICANN Accountability Call, taking place on Tuesday, the 18th of August, 2015 at 1530 UTC. On the English channel, we have Alan Greenberg, Gordon Chillicott, Cheryl Lynn Ganor, Olivia Krepin-Leblanc, Chidani Benjamin, Yasuchi Kitamura, and Sebastian Bachelet. On the Spanish channel, we have Alberto Soto. We have apologies from Sean Odedeji, Leon Sanchez, Jimmy Schultz, and Fatima Cambromero. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Kim Carlson, and myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreters today are Veronica and David. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but also for our Spanish interpreters. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And have we missed anyone in the roll call by any chance? Doesn't appear so. Okay, the roll call is complete, and today we're going to start with the CCWG accountability, following up on all the work that's been happening in the past week and obviously focusing much on the public consultation that is currently taking place. And then afterwards, we'll spend a shorter amount of time on both the IANA Coordination Group update, which actually is also a public consultation that the ALAC is responding to, any updates on the CWG IANA as far as the stewardship transition is concerned. Are there any additions or amendments to the agenda? I see Alan Greenberg having put his hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I made an alteration to the agenda already, which you may or may not have noticed. I added the new NTIA blog post, or the proposal identified in the blog post, which is the ICANN VeriSign proposal for root zone manager management changes under the CWG.
That's very helpful, Alan. Thank you. Olivier speaking. I hadn't seen that change, and that's a good change. Obviously, there's also the other announcement from NTIA about the renewal for another year of the contract for another year. So I guess we'll have to discuss both of these today. And without any further ado, the agenda being adopted as it is, we can have a look at the action items of our last meeting, and that's just to do, I see Tijani Benjamin has put his hand up. Let's hear from Tijani. You have the floor, Tijani.
Merci, Olivier. Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I don't think that the root zone management would be under the CWG, as Alan said. It would be between ICANN and VeriSign. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Tijani. I think we will leave it as any other business in here, and probably because I don't think there's very much time that will be spent on this CWG anyway. So any other business for the time being. Thanks, Tijani. So let's move then. Action items from last week, and that was just to have the doodles for the two calls this week. We've got a call today and another one later on this week. Let's move straight to number three then, the CCWG accountability. And for this, with Leon Sanchez unable to join us at the moment, we do have Alan Greenberg, who will be able to take us through the consultation and through any of the progress so far. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I was just finishing a comment in the chat. All right. There have been no further comments on the wiki over what was there last week. And the first item on the agenda, I believe, under this one, is a pointer to those comments. The second item is the draft, first version of the draft comment that I have put together. This basically takes the comments that had originally been posted either by myself or by Sebastian and puts them into more proper words for an ALAC comment with a significant number of places where we need additional discussion. But what I would like to do is go through this essentially paragraph by paragraph and get either buy-off on it or discussion on how it should change. So if we could post the version 1 draft comment in the pod, I would appreciate it.
And this is Terry. One moment, please.
Thank you. Okay. No, that's not the document we're looking at. We're looking at...
Okay,
the,
one moment.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. There obviously we'll need some flowery language at the beginning, saying we appreciate all the good work, and that we can add later. The first subset of paragraphs says the ALAC is generally very supportive. Although we had a preference for less enforceability, we believe this is an acceptable way forward. And I'm going to pause after each paragraph just to see if there's anyone who wants to disagree with it or propose anything other than, you know, any significant wording changes. Not seeing anything, we'll go ahead. Point out we do have a number of concerns, both philosophical ones and at a detailed level, and we'll take the opportunity to comment on the various minority statements that were presented in the paper, and then qualify that if we're not qualifying anything, then this is an ALAC position that is held widely by the group and approved, but there may well be times that we present alternatives if we have significant differences within the group. Sebastian.
Thank you, Alan and Sebastian, but you have Olivier before me.
Sorry. The fact that he's up above, I didn't notice him. Okay, Olivier, you're on.
Yes.
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking up in the clouds. Just to mention the concerns, both at a philosophical and a detailed level. I'm not quite sure how you're putting the contrast between philosophical and detailed, and I would say that it's probably not a good idea to say the ALAC has philosophical concerns. Maybe
All
you can
right.
find another word for this.
I suspect that is the correct word, because we have concerns, for instance, on the ability to reject budgets.
That's pretty substantial. That's not
cases.
Philosophical.
Well, okay.
It's not philosophy. It's hardcore cash.
Can you recommend another word to say? All I'm trying to say is that there are a variety of views. Some of them are really substantive, and some are, you know, minor things that need adjustment. So if you can suggest something to replace that, I would be happy. It doesn't have to be at this moment.
It's Olivia speaking, and I was going to say exactly the word that Gordon has put in the chat, conceptual. Thank you, Gordon.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm happy with it, but I'm willing to put it in and see how it looks. Sebastian.
Thank you, Alan. It's Sebastian Bachelet. To discuss at the high and detail level could be a way to discuss this issue. I wanted to comment the fact that you talk about minority view, but we have also minority reports, and maybe it could be good to say we will provide also a position on the minority reports
okay.
on this document.
Yeah, I was using views as a generic, but I'll be specific and use the exact words that are in the report, in the proposal.
Yeah, but you have, Alan, you have both, Sebastian, you have both. You have minority view, it's where the minority is within the report, and minority report, it's when it's at the end of the report.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, noted. I was trying to be glib, and I wrote this late at night, but you're right, I should be specific and say we will comment on both types. So no problem with that. All right. Going into the substance, the first item is in paragraph 154, bullet 2, and this is the recommendation that in the bylaws we define where currently it says it's led by the private sector. There is a suggestion that we enumerate various parts of the private sector. And we were grouped in with under civil society, and there was a general discussion at the last meeting that we believe that we should reference end users specifically, because there are certainly cases where groups within our community are civil society, but there are groups when there are strong differences. And there was a fair amount spoken last time. I haven't gone into the transcript, but if someone can suggest another sentence or two which gives further rationale and cases demonstrating why we believe we need to separate the two out, I would appreciate it. I didn't include the references to splitting business users among providers and users. I think if they want to push that one, they certainly can, but I'm not sure that that's our job. Any comments on this? So either Sebastian or Tijani, both of whom have been vocal on the references to end users, if you can give me specific words, I would appreciate it. Sebastian, you're up.
Sebastian, yeah, I agree with you. We need to struggle for our own house, and I will provide you with some rational. One of my concerns is that the organization within ICANN, it's not the one use in other places of internet governance, and it's why also it's important to raise this as we are an end user organization. But I will try to provide you with some.
Yeah, that certainly is a good point. That civil society at this moment, anyway, although there are some initiatives to change that, is not a term widely used and understood within ICANN. So that alone, I think, is a good reason. But thank you. I'll look forward to seeing what you have. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. I want to perhaps to explain more why it was put private sector led in the first draft of the bylaws of ICANN. It was because they wanted to say that it is not governmental led, and for the whole community, for the whole world, there is the commercial and business sector, which is the private sector for us, but it's not the same for them. There is the government, and there is the rest of the world, and this is the way people were spread in the World Summit on Information Society. So this is why it was written like this. Our duty is to say that it is not private sector, is not business and commercial community. It is all the communities, all the stakeholders, including end users specifically. I have a real fear that we will have the NCSG have approved that at large it's not civil society and doesn't have anything to do with civil society. They are the representative of civil society, and this is something that I don't want. That's why Sebastian, please, when you draft something, try to avoid this kind of message that we may send to people. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Regarding using the term led by the private sector, I think we've already won that battle in that we do have words that elaborate on it. Now our challenge is to get them right. And Tijani, please put in a comment or something yourself to make sure that that's not lost. the issue of NCSG potentially claiming the territory, the exclusive territory, is an issue that's come up before. And although we may not want to point deliberate fingers in our statement, we may want to allude to it. So I think it's an important issue. The next one is appeals mechanism. Now, I had a strong comment on that, saying I had a real problem with the binding nature. I've reviewed the words very carefully again, and the wording, with one exception, and I've already identified that on the CCWG list, or no, I haven't yet, but I will, is the IRP does not make decisions, it overturns. It essentially says the ICANN board or staff were in violation of the bylaws or articles of incorporation and have to take action to remedy that. The one exception is the IRP is also given the ability to override conflicting external panel decisions, and in fact they're then silent as to how that gets done. But in terms of the IRP with regard to the bylaws, they don't actually make decisions, and we were saying in our discussion the other day that it's fine for the IRP to overturn, but it should not make a replacement decision. And as I read it, I'm not sure they are recommending that at this point. So the question is, from other people who have read this section well, do we really have a problem with it or not? I'm no longer convinced anymore that we do. I wish Leon was on the call because he probably understands it a bit more than I do. This is not one of the sections I focused on to a great extent as we went forward. Anyone else have any thoughts on this? Tijani. And I, if Sebastian has any thoughts, I would appreciate it also. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. In the recommendation of the, in the report of the CWG, they don't say clearly that the IRP doesn't take decisions, but they say that the role of the board is not replaced by the IRP. That means that the decision should be taken by the board, but it is not clear, and it is you're right. We have to put more clarification in the wording, and if we can make it more clear, it will be better. Because I have the same fear that you have, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah, my problem is I'm not sure I have the fear anymore. The wording. Let me see if I can find it in the report.
I saw it. They said that it will not replace the board.
No.
No.
It does say that, but it also says. Trying to find out. Yeah, I can't find the exact words, but the wording was something like that it can decide that the board or staff have not followed the bylaws and that appropriate action has to be taken. That's not the exact wording of it, but it's close. I'll let Sebastian talk, and maybe I can find the words as he's going on.
Yes, thank you, Alan Sebastian Bachelet. I guess it's in paragraph 268, and it's bullet number 5, possible outcome of the IRP. An IRP will result in a declaration that an action failure to act complied or didn't comply with ICANN article of incorporation and or bylaws. To the extent permitted by law, IRP decision should be binding on ICANN. The question is how it's written here, because in fact now we don't just judge on what is if it's following the bylaws or the processes, but also on the content. Then the question of the binding is you can say that you didn't follow the bylaws, but if the decision if the panel decide to put a proposal or say, ICANN, you need to follow this, for example, just to take a bad example, I know, but they decide that for the .dot Africa, it's not the number one, but the number two who must be given the application, and then it's not ICANN anymore who will decide. I don't know if my example is a good one, but it's this type of binding who can be difficult for ICANN as a whole and for the board to follow. Thank you.
Okay, so basically you're saying we should reinforce that the IRP can decide that we have not followed the bylaws but cannot recommend explicit action, that it is the board who has to do that in response to the decision.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Alan, I agree with you.
I will try to craft something like that.
Alan, it's Sebastian again, but of course it will be good to have Leon giving his thought on that. It's of course is one party know very well, and it will be better.
I will consult with Leon before I present whatever I draft, if not before drafting it. All right. Next section is on section number 6, and it's paragraph 319 to 334, and this is on the weighting models. The wording I now have is the ILAC can support the 5 times 5 plus 2 times 2 model with the understanding that should the ICANN bylaws, and there's a spelling mistake there, be altered to no longer have ESSEC members and chair appointed by the ICANN board, the ESSEC should be granted a full a weight of 5 commensurate with the importance and security and stability in ICANN's mission. Further, I add, the ALAC will support the 7 times 5 model. Under no conditions will we support the model where the ALAC and GAC are given lesser status than the SOs. Comments? Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And you just have to be careful how you use the ALAC can support and the ALAC will support. We need to establish nomenclature for this, whether we use one or the other, because does show that there is a difference.
I'm happy to use will there in the first sentence.
Okay, thanks.
If that addresses it. Sebastian.
Sebastian Bachelet. Yeah, I wanted to say the same thing. I was wondering why we can't be more is supporting or we are supporting and we can also support the second one. For the moment, I guess the main one is 5x5 and 2x2. Then we need that we support this one.
Okay. How about just ALAC supports?
That's an English trick, but yes, no problem.
And for the second one, in the previous version, I had wording to the extent of the ALAC would support the 7x5 model if there is a general interest in the community. I dropped that last part, sounding wishy-washy, but maybe we need some additional words there. So I'll try to reword the 7x5 sentence. Tijani.
Yes, exactly, Alan. I think that our interest as ALAC is 7x5, but we can live with 5x5 plus 2x2. I have read an article, I don't know where they compare the power of the three SOs in all the scenarios, and it is we need to minimize this power. We need to have more democracy in the decision making. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I'll give the floor to Cheryl in a moment, but my only concern, and I do have a concern, is that I'm not sure giving 5 votes to the RSAC is democracy. They are a very targeted group, essentially, in many cases, one person for each root server, or perhaps one person representing a group, and I'm not sure that I would call that giving them 5 votes as democracy. So I do have some concerns with the RSAC, and although I don't think board approval of the SSAC is really an issue, I can understand where people are coming from on that one. Cheryl.
Hi, Alan. Thanks, Cheryl, for the record. I'm not counter to your point, though I do not have the same issue with RSAC being given a balanced and equitable vote power on the rare occasions when these things are even going to be exercised. However, I actually wondered whether we might take some of the language in the first paragraph as is written at the moment, not so much softer but more generic, and where we've specified that the SSAC could be given or garnered or granted a weight of, I was wondering whether we could say that other ACs could be granted a weight of, so as not to be specific to the SSAC and also to be open-ended for what could very well be possibilities of other advisory committees being formed, created or desired in the future. So that's not counter to what you were saying and your concerns about the RSAC, but it does cover my lack of concern about the RSAC and I guess preference for the 7-by. Thanks.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to remove the phrase about the importance of security and stability in the mission, though. I think that's a really powerful one. So I think we have to identify the SSAC separately from that perspective.
Such as, but not limited to. This just seems very limited to just this one existing AC, and I just think some clever use of language there might be not so much open-ended, but I think I'd be happier with a more generic issue there.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who feels sort of strongly that the RSAC should be given the five votes, given right now they are limited and currently appointed by the board? I'm not sure I want to push that really hard, because I'd prefer to push on what we're more likely to get than pushing something which is something that is almost surely going to be rejected en masse by the group. Tijani.
Yes, thank you, Alan. It is not because I want the RSAC to have 5 votes, but it is because I am sure that the GAC will not be in the decision-making loop. They have a lot of problems, and they will not decide. In my point of view, they will not agree together. They will not have consensus in their group to abandon or not have the more or less binding advice to the board to have a vote in our community. So my fear is that we will be the three SOs plus ELAC who have 5 votes. And perhaps the two others have 2 votes. So in this case, we will have very powerful registry position. And this make me the public interest will not really be defended in this case. Thank you.
Okay, I'll reword it, and we'll see if it closes. Comes closer to matching what people feel. Next item is under Community Powers, Section 1, Reconsideration or Rejection of the Budget. I have separately in the in a mail to the group asked the question of, is rejection the same as veto? and pointed out the conflict in some particular paragraphs. So I didn't think that's something the ALAC needs to address. But depending on the answer, we may, in fact, roll that back in. That was in the comments on the wiki. The ALAC, what I have now is the ALAC has concerns about the ability of the community to reject budget items related to a single SO or AC. Given the apparent view of some community members that particular groups should have lesser status than others, it could follow that these groups should be denied financial support. The board is given the responsibility of balancing the various needs and priorities of the constituent parts of ICANN, and should be given the discretion to do so. I find this somewhat weak, to be honest, and I guess I'm looking for input as to whether do we eliminate it altogether or how do we strengthen it. It is self-serving because, if nothing else, Chris Despain has identified the ALAC's funding of summits as a potential place where this could happen. Input? No one? Okay, we leave it as stands for the next version. Sebastian says he was back. I was just talking about section 7.1 and saying that I thought this is somewhat weak, and do we eliminate it or do we strengthen it, given that it could be potentially viewed as self-serving. Still no hand, then I will we'll come back to it later if necessary. Section 7.3, removal of individual directors. This is the statement I think we all agreed on last time, that there needs to be explicit statement that removing a director does not result in libel or slander or defamation cases. Paragraphs 407 and 409, the process should be adjusted to allow removal of multiple directors without replicating certain steps. I think that's just a clarification. And there is some substantial comments that Sebastian made on section 7.4 that we deferred discussion on, and I'd like to do those now if possible. Sebastian, if you don't mind, I'll lead it and read off the items. Terry, could we have the other document back in the pod for a moment? Thank you. If you can scroll down, it's, I believe, a little bit about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down. And there's a section called 7.4, recalling the entire board. And the comments read as follows. Paragraph 409, section 2A, the chair of the forum must not be associated with the petitioning AC and SO, and Sebastian is suggesting that we add the NOMCOM. I really don't find this particularly necessary, because although we're recalling a person who was named by a NOMCOM, it is indeed a previous NOMCOM, and there's not necessarily any real connection between that NOMCOM and the current one. So I find that the restriction a little bit too strong, but don't feel very strong about that. Are there anyone who either feels it should be retained or feels strongly it should be deleted? Nobody much cares. Tijani and Alberto, go ahead. Tijani first.
Alan, yes, Alan, thank you. I think it will not harm to keep it. We will not be be in the obligation to find to find one NOMCOM for that. We, for me, we the best is to include NAMCOM as we did last time. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm worried about the term associate, that the chair of the forum cannot be associated with the NAMCOM, and you know that sort of NAMCOM is a wide ranging.
Yeah. No, not associate, but I cannot be a member of the last NAMCOM.
Of the NAMCOM that named the person? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
Okay. That I could support. I'm not sure how to word it, but that I could certainly support. All right. Alberto, you're next.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. The NAMCOM's mission is to appoint, perhaps, it should not be there because its function is not to judge and to separate the members. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the prohibition in the chair was that whoever is chairing the community forum should be viewed as impartial and not have had a relationship to the appointment of the same director. So I think that's not an unreasonable restriction. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And I just wondered one small thing regarding the removal of the entire board. Was it really the feeling of the CCWG that the board needed to be pretty much escorted out of the building and and this interim board to be appointed in the meantime, this caretaker board to be appointed in the meantime, because we couldn't trust the board that was there to carry on business until a new board gets approved?
There was certainly the belief that once the act had been carried out, that effectively the old board was escorted out of the building, yes. There was a strong feeling. Because one of the suggestions that was on the table was the old board would continue working until the new board, but with perhaps limited power, and that was felt to be quite unworkable. But I'll note that this process to remove the board is going to take weeks, and clearly the old board is still in full control while they are under threat. That doesn't mean it's going to be a successful removal. But certainly they are have full control at the time the process is going on, and I don't think there's anything you can do about that.
Alan, it's Olivia speaking. If I could just add, I just find that the process of having now not only the weeks that it takes to remove the board, in which case the board can pretty much torch the building before they leave the building, and suddenly we're like, hey, bingo, they're actually out of the building. Excellent. Let's put some caretaker board in the meantime, it seems to be very complicated. And I just wonder, does this have the chance to actually make things longer? Instead of having some nimble way of having a new board appointed? Just an open question. Thank you.
This was the best we could come up with, to be quite candid. So, if you have some radical idea of how to do it otherwise, I will note that relatively few organizations, and this is what the advice, not the advice, but the wisdom of the lawyers, was relatively few organizations have a remove the whole board provision. And those that do, in many cases, they have no alternative. That is, they don't include in the rules how the board is to be replaced, which sounds like saying we're going to get rid of the captain and the steering wheel of the ship, but then we'll worry later about building a new steering wheel and hiring a captain. But that is indeed what other corporations have done. So we're trying to be more prudent, but it's not perfect. Cheryl, you're on.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. Just thinking on this, and I'm comfortable with where we are on the provision of interim members being deposed, et cetera, because I think that what you use the term caretaker, I think I'd be careful to suggest that they are, in fact, an interim replacement board, not necessarily a fully manned force, of course, but they are to be in the ability of continuing operations once the full board is removed. But in a number of political situations where there is concern that the firebrand might be used, even if the outcome is not such a to be removed by other than democratic processes, you do have limitations on, for example, caretaking criteria being applied to existing governance bodies. So, for example, even in Australia, there is a point at which, in a normal scheme of events, once either a no-confidence vote or a call for election occurs, there are limitations on the powers. So the firebrand can't be put through the building, as you suggested, but rather minimum maintenance can go out in terms of governance and action. Situations need to protect some extremes, and I think that could be requested for and built into the system with things terms like caretaker governance controls. But that would be applied before board removal, between the point of it being raised as a request for consideration and actually being actioned. And that doesn't affect the interim nature of the other putting up someone as well.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'll point out that any director who sees the rest of the directors going off to torch the building or the sole member can go to a court and get an injunction. So, you know, all the normal laws which restrict what an entity can do can still be invoked here. So it's not quite as free rein as one might imagine. Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier Krepenablo speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, there is an echo, though.
Oh, I don't know.
Go ahead. We'll live with it.
Okay, thanks. It was just to come back to what to Cheryl's point, and I just want to sort of get a clearer picture here. Do we then agree to a full interim board to be created, or do we prefer to have a caretaker board that will carry on business until a new full set of board members gets appointed.
Can I respond to that, Donna?
Quickly, please, but we're completely off the topic of what we're supposed to be talking about.
My suggestion was not for caretaker board to be created. An interim board will be proposed along with a removal action, but that there is caretaker control exercise on what you would effectively be the high-risk outgoing board. So not exactly, the removal from the building model, but rather limit the rooms they can play in and what they can do in it.
Yep. Thank you. Certainly we could propose that some restrictions be placed on a board while the process is ongoing. As soon as the process is done, that board is gone, certainly from a legal point of view. The question is, do we want to make restrictions on what it can do while the process is going on? And this kind of thing was discussed not from that point of view, but more from the interim board point of view, and said we don't really know what's happening in ICANN at the time. This is a time of crisis. This may not be the time you want to restrict what the board can do. So, but if someone has a suggestion, please put it in. I notice Avery has made some comments in the chat about articles of incorporation. Avery, could I ask you to put a note in the wiki so that we don't lose that one? All right. The next item is on paragraph 411, and Sebastian noted that it suggests that the nominating committee have reserve candidates in place for the board, and his comment is that would be difficult to handle. I would note that whether it's difficult or not doesn't mean we can recommend it. And in general, my understanding is the NomCom typically does have at least one candidate in reserve. Now, there's no guarantee that candidate is still available, but they've identified someone who they believe is an acceptable candidate, and that could certainly be done, you know, where they do two or two candidates like that instead of just one or more even. But I think it's a reasonable request that the nominating committee do this. Whether they can actually satisfy it or not, I don't think is something we need to worry about. I'm presuming that people representing the NomCom, and Cheryl is certainly one of them, if they thought this was a really dangerous or completely impossible request, that we would have heard that already. Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier Crépin Leblanc speaking, and having served on the NomCom quite some time ago, it is indeed the case that there is a second candidate, but of course that candidate is not told that they are the reserve candidate. So when it comes down to letting them know, they would be pretty much the same thing as all of the other SOs and ACs. And I believe that is the plan, isn't it, to not let the number two, the backup, know about this position, or is there a plan to let them know that they'll be the backup position?
I think that's a NomCom issue. I don't think we need to look into it.
But I'm asking in the other SOs and ACs, are we basically saying, so Alan's going to be on the board and Evan is going to be the backup position? Just taking
No. In random this reserve candidate was for the NomCom, I believe, only.
Okay, all right. No, but I'm talking regarding the other candidates for the rest of the
community. At one point, a suggestion was made that whenever a candidate is named, a backup be named also, and that was ultimately rejected by the community. How the AC or SO decides on their one or two interim members is purely up to them at the time.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is in section 415, and there's a reference to a responsible person, and I don't quite know where that is. Upon receipt of the valid petition within a time frame that will be defined, paragraph 7 days, the responsible person will... Okay, so the question is, who is the responsible person? I think earlier it's identified as the Secretary of the Board of Governors, but I'm not sure. But I think that's, Sebastian, if I'm correct, that says we have a statement there which is not quite clear, and it needs to be clarified. I don't think that needs an ALAC statement, but we should pose the question on the mailing list, and I'll do that if I'm interpreting that correctly. Sebastian, yeah, I see a tick mark. Okay. I see two tick marks from Sebastian. It's amazing on my thing. And I'll make a note saying an email on that. And also regarding there apparently is an option on what the period is. 422 is not clear. I'll look at that later, and again, I'll put that in the same comment. And Sebastian, I'll check with you before I send it to make sure I'm identifying what you identified. 423, minimum diversity. Okay. The 423 says, due to the short term, the interim board is not subject to diversity requirements that apply to the ICANN board. The normal diversity requirements are you must have at least one person from each region and no more than four or five, I think.
Five.
Given how these people are going to be named, that is, the majority of the interim board will likely be named by the AC's SOs. And because the NomCom is not likely to have eight people in its back pocket that it can stick on immediately. So we don't have the ability of the NomCom, or what's more, at the time the search for these people was done by the previous NomCom, the diversity needs might be different. So if at the time the NomCom was trying to fill board positions, there was already a maximum number of people from North America, they would not even consider North Americans. Yet that might be the category that's needed in the interim board. So given that most of them are named by the ACs and SOs, and the NOMCOM is going to have a very limited pool to use to pull out of its pocket at the very short term, I'm not sure how we can make diversity requirements on this interim board. So I understand the desire, but I don't see the mechanism by which it can be done. Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capin-Ablanc speaking. And I agree with you that it would be very difficult to have diversity requirements. But I would be very concerned if, with all of the media that would shine on ICANN, if the community was to spill the board, an interim board would be made up entirely of North Americans. That would signify ICANN's death, and I think that we need to perhaps, I don't have an answer for this, but perhaps we could have really a maximum number of people from any single region, maybe relax that number rather than get rid of that number altogether.
Olivier, can I ask you the mechanism by which we do that? The board could be composed of as few as four people, one from each AC and SO that has the power, and the NOMCOM has nobody to contribute at a given time. What do we do? Do we say whichever ACSO gets there first, you get your choice, but when the fourth one comes along, we may say, no, we won't accept your choice? I don't understand the mechanism we can use to do this.
Yeah, it's Olivier speaking. For a very small board, such as four people, that indeed is a very, very hard, tough sell. And as I said, I don't have a golden bullet for this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, but
still thinking.
It's hard to put rules in place if we can't even imagine a viable one. Sebastian.
Yes, Alan. Sebastian Bachelet. If you read my comments, it says that instead of writing that is not subject to the diversity requirement, at least a minimum diversity requirement must apply. And my suggestion is, if there are 2% to be selected by an SO, this SO need to have one coming from another region than the first one, or the second one must be from another region. That means that there is no... the difference between my proposal and what is written is that in what is written there is no diversity requirement at all. And I think that if CCNSO, DNSO, or ISO decide to put 2%, they need to choose two regions, the people from two different regions. And that's the only point. I am not talking about the fact that it will be better if the three organizations didn't choose people just coming from a big island or a big continent or whatever. It's a simple and possible workable solution I am suggesting.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
you. Sebastian, when I read the words, I was always looking at it saying there must be diversity requirements on the overall composition of the board. What you're saying right now, from my perspective, is very different, and I find that completely acceptable. That is, if any group is naming more than one person, they must be from different regions. I find that completely acceptable.
And it's Sebastian again. I just to be clear with everybody here, I was just trying, I start saying that I disagree with the fact we have removal and recalling like it is suggested in the report. But I try to put some suggestion to enhance the report, whatever, even if I disagree with the concept or the idea here, just to be sure that we have a better report at the end. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sebastian. I think that's all we're all doing. None of us are getting exactly what we wanted, but we have to try to make sure that what we don't end up with is dangerous and that it's the best it possibly can be. So I wasn't reading it as anything else, but what you're now proposing, I read it personally, is different, and that may be my own insight. But you do have those words there. I didn't read them fully, so I apologize. And I will put that in. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I agree with Sebastian, and I would add that now we have the community assembly that can consult all the community together, and when each SO and DC will come with their candidate, we can consult between all together, all the community together, and try to find the best, not balance, but the best distribution, regional distribution of the candidates. Thank you.
Yeah, To be honest, I think that's going past what the community forum is there to do. I think the ACs and SOs are going to give them full discretion to select their interim member. So I would I don't think we can do more than that. But I like what Sebastian's suggesting, and I'm sorry I didn't read that actual sentence before. I missed it.
Alan, I didn't say that the assembly will decide. I said that it is a forum of discussion. So the SO and ACs with their candidate, they can come and discuss between themselves and see how to balance the best the composition of the next board. That's all.
Yeah, Tijani, I understand what you're saying, but I believe the process is you don't name the director, the interim director, until you actually effectively cast your vote. So I think we're presupposing that, and the NomCom now no longer has to present their candidates at all until the vote is successful, because they want to maintain the confidentiality of their candidates if the vote is not successful. But I agree with the sentiment, and I'll try to put some words in that cover that. 425, the directors selected for the interim board and later those for the replacement board will step into terms that are vacated by the recalled directors. Each AC and SO shall determine which of the terms the interim and replacement directors have filled. In this way, there shall be no disruption in the staggered terms of the director. I don't see why and how. Sebastian, could you elaborate? I'm not sure I see a problem there. They're simply saying that if there is one director's position that is currently up in a year and another in 2 years, that the ACRSO designate that Sebastian is filling position A or position B. Sebastian, go ahead. Are you still with us? Whoops, he's dropped off.
Yeah, sorry, I was mute. Yes, Alan, I agree. The question is here, it's not if it's good or not good. It must be done for the board, for the next board. But the interim board, there is no issue. We don't care. It's an interim board. The people will be in seat in A or B or C. We don't care because it's an interim board. And I see more complexity, unneeded complexity, and administrative work not needed either. And my suggestion is to the director selected for the replacement board will step into, and we don't talk about interim board in this part of the
document. Okay. So I see your reference is really to the interim board, and that one doesn't make any difference. I support that. All right, I think we are now finished that section. And back to the original game. Can we go back to the original document, Terry? And we're in the middle of page 2. And paragraph 429.30, report removal of the ACSO by a single the entire board by a single SO. The logic in the minority view is that and I should reference that it is a minority view. Is that it would be unacceptable for a particular SO, specifically the GNSO or CCNSO community, to find the board totally unacceptable and not be able to categorically remove them, that it could not function with a board it did not support. And I perhaps obviously reject that it has to be the community removing the entire board, not a particular SO. I don't think I'm going to get anyone not supporting my position here. But I'm looking. No? Okay. Section 8, diversity. Correctly so, my comments in the previous on the wiki were aimed largely at the input into the diversity recommendations as opposed to the recommendations themselves. I do feel that the report has to make it really clear that the input was just that and not things that are necessarily being considered in detail. So I would suggest that we need a clarification on input. But Sebastian reasonably asked that we look at the recommendation, at the recommendations explicitly, and what I've done is replicated here the six recommendations, and I've put my comments. The first one is that include diversity as an important element in creating any new structure, such as the IRP. I believe it should be that we need to consider including diversity. I'm not quite sure, for instance, how one wants to incorporate diversity in the selecting of the three panelists for any given panel. And depending on the subject matter, the panelists are likely, there's only likely to be a subset of panelists that are eligible, and I'm not sure that diversity should be a requirement as opposed to, again, a consideration as we go forward. Tijani. And I'll point out, I don't think the IRP is a particularly good example. Go ahead.
Thank you. Tijani speaking. Do you mean, Alan, that we will not find the profile of one of the three members of the panel in all the regions in the world? Do you think that you will not find well-qualified people, even technical qualified people, in Africa or in Latin America or in Asia-Pacific? I don't think so. So the requirement of diversity, I think, is a key point. And for sure, if there are three, for sure there will be three regions only. But we have to avoid having two from the three from the same region. It is I would like to avoid having all the panelists from North America, for example. Those are things. We are not the only one who are interested in ICANN. People who don't like us are interested in ICANN, and those people are trying to find where they say this is always a North American organization. So we need to make things very clear and very, very how to say, nobody can attack us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. When I was referring to the IRP, and as I said, I think it's a bad example, there are going to be seven standing panelists, and I certainly believe it's a reasonable requirement that there be reasonable diversity across those panelists. For any given IRP, and any given specific example, which will be on a certain subject matter perhaps, there may well be only a subset of the IRP panelists who are really eligible, and whether it will be possible or practical, I don't know. And I'm out of my depth in selecting panelists for a review panel. I'm just saying I'm not sure that we can require it, but we should certainly consider it. Sebastian, does that come close to what you're suggesting, or do you believe it needs to be stronger than consider?
Sebastian, actually, it may be our difference of English understanding, but when I write include diversity, it's not to say every topic of the diversity must be included in seven person, but it needs to be included, and even the requirement that there are people with common law knowledge and with other type of law knowledge, it's one who could be very useful within the IRP. Then I really don't think, I have the impression that here we are not really we have no big difference. Maybe you think that consider including it's very different than including, but I don't see differences.
I guess there, I think we're reading differently when we say IRP. You're talking about, I think, the seven who are the standing panel, whereas I was looking at the three who will be on any given IRP.
And in fact, if this is a dispute between a North American company and ICANN, then including a common law expert in that particular panel does not necessarily make a lot of sense, presuming that it's not being held in New Orleans. I think I agree that include diversity as an element and consider including is not really very different. So I'll try to word something that covers this. And Tijani, is that a new hand?
Yes, it is a new hand. Alan, the three panelists are chosen by the two parties, and the two panelists will choose the third one. So there is no diversity rules for them. They come from a diverse panel of seven people. So the diversity, we will not apply the diversity for the three panelists because they are chosen by parties.
Okay.
Thank you.
Point taken. Thank you. Second item is evaluate a proposed evolution of the ATRT into the Accountability, Transparency, and Diversity Review. I personally find that far too prescriptive. I think it is reasonable to say ICANN needs a diversity review on a regular basis, and the ATRT could be a vehicle for doing that. I don't think it should be as prescriptive as that, because I personally have some real problems having served on an ATRT. Thinking that might be added to its laundry list of things to do. So, Sebastian, is that acceptable? Go ahead. Sebastian, you may be muted or maybe you dropped off.
No, I changed my mute button, sorry. It's Sebastian Machado. Yeah, I think here we agree, evaluate, it's to evaluate, and if the people who will evaluate disagree, I hope that they will suggest something else. It was because it was a proposal in the comments that we suggest that in the recommendation that the Workstream 2 or whatever group will evaluate and say yes, no. If you are part, you will say no. If I am part, I will maybe say yes, but we will discuss and try. And if it's not the ATRT, I hope that we will come with another proposal. But it's an evaluation, and it's not a prescription.
Okay. I guess I feel strongly that even suggesting it be the ATRT is really a bad move. That suggesting ATRT as a possible vehicle I can live with, but proposing it as the ATDRT, I believe is really a bad move. So, if you
it's Sebastian again, I would just say one thing. It's I guess it was a proposal by one of the co-chair. I don't care who will take care of that, in fact, from my personal point of view. What is important, it must be done. But you can write what you want about that. The end result is more important. That's the way we are going to go there. Thank you.
Yeah. My only point is
the ATRT right now is heavily overburdened, and we've got the load reduced a little with the changing wording that they were proposing in when it's moved into the bylaws. Adding this in, I think, will tip the scale into something which is completely untenable. Cheryl.
Cheryl, for the record, and yes, I agree with you, Alan. I think we could just work with a review team, not necessarily limiting it to a proposal to ATRT. And a review team is a term of art now anyway.
Yep, thank you.
Number three, I think we have semi-closure. Perform as part of Workstream 2 a more detailed analysis, full inventory of mechanisms, and it ends with, as an initial review of current documents, it is clear they do not address the full concerns raised by the larger community on diversity. That last part is a rationale for why we're doing it, and I don't think belongs in the request, although it could be as a preamble. But to be honest, I'm not sure that warrants a comment from ALAC, but I would suggest that it be reworded in the document. Comments? So we will include the recommendation, but not the last part of it. And number, how are we doing on time, Olivier? We're a little, an hour and a quarter in, so we better speed
rather
up.
Rather late at the moment.
Yeah, okay, we'll try to speed
late.
Up. Or we may skip to further. Let's finish this section, and we will defer the rest to the next meeting. Number four is I'm suggesting it belongs under number two, and I presume there's no objection to merging them together. Carry out a detailed working plan. I don't think there's anything, I'm not sure the wording is right, but the sentiment is there. And strengthen the commitments in order to create a more diverse pool of ICANN participants. I think that's number one. It's a really important issue. Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, and I disagree with you about four. The question, it's not too much the fact that there is something about review. It's, for example, is it included in the task of the ombudsman? Is it somebody else? Is it somewhere else? It's a different topic than the review itself. Thank you. No more people talking. I am out.
You're still here.
Yeah. Alan might be muted.
Yeah, it's why I'm coming back. It's Sebastian talking. But Alan, we are missing you. Yes, you dropped, Alan. At least we can't hear you.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking, and I note over to me for the next section. Okay, let's, I'm not sure whether Alan is saying in the next section into his section, next section of the call. I think that he just wanted to touch on this and then move on to have a look at the work of the ICG and the other statement that we have to put together.
I assume it's your section. I think that's the only way forward.
I think that will be yes. Okay. Well, we'll stop right here on this, on our comment for the CCWG, and we'll move over to agenda item number four, and that's the IANA coordination group. We also have a statement that is currently being drafted with the input from the working group, and primarily at the moment, the only two input that we have is our discussion on the choice between IANA.org and any IPRs remaining with ICANN, or going to the IETF trust, or going to a new trust created for this purpose. You will have noticed the letter that Steve Crocker, the chair of the board, has sent over to the various component communities, and let them know that the ICANN board was agreeable with transferring those IPRs, so all of this intellectual property, including the IANA.org domain, to a purpose-built entity. Although it wasn't quite sure whether this would be the IETF trust with some changes, or whether it would be a brand new trust of some sort that would be created. I guess I open the floor for any feedback regarding that. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
I think that between Milton and Greg, there have been sufficient words on the mailing list on the details of how to do this. We seem to have all parties agreeing with each other. Let's let the principals and their lawyers get together and see if they can hammer something out. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Now, do you then believe that we need to actually do show the support of the ALAC for this, just leaving it very open? Alan?
I think we've already indicated our support. If you would like a two-line message that I can send on behalf of the ALAC, then I can certainly do that. I think we've already said, certainly I have, and I think we have, that we want this to work. We want to protect the NAMES community and make sure they have continued use of these resources, and we don't care much how this gets done. Group would like me to send that on behalf of this working group, I would certainly be happy to do that. I'm tired of reading long messages, though.
We could have a long paragraph about this. Let's go over to Sébastien Bachelet.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Sébastien speaking. It's just to say that I hope that it's not tree hiding the forest, because I have the impression that we are jumping in this discussion, and when I say we, not just at large, but a lot of people, and that's not the heart of the situation of this question. It's the IANA stewardship transition, and I hope that we will have something to say at the more global level. And as I have not followed in detail what CWG and ICG are doing, I am not the best place for that, but I really think that it's important for us to not just spend too much time on that issue only. Thank you.
Thank you, Sébastien. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I acknowledge that this is an emotional issue. The term IANA was used not to reference to a group, but to reference John Postel, the person. If you look at the obituary on the ICANN website, it's an obituary to our IANA. So it would be emotionally wrenching to stop using that term. But other than that, the world would keep on going. So I really don't think that we need to agonize over it. I believe there is goodwill to come up with a solution that will meet the CRISP criteria, since they were the only ones to write one, and is acceptable to the other groups. And I prefer to leave it to the people who feel that they're both knowledgeable on it and have a vested interest in making sure that what we decide on is actually implementable. So I personally don't want to spend a lot more time on it. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. I see a lot of green ticks in the virtual room, so there's much agreement with your points. Let's move to the next point, the second comment, and that's the one that that was made by Tijani Benchema. And unfortunately, on the actual page that is shared, the comments don't appear to show, which seems to be some kind of a bug. Tijani has put down in the chat of the page his intervention that he made last time I'm not sure whether we want to go over it again, to discuss this again and see if that goes into the statement, the ALAC statement, or not. Tijani, did you want to intervene quickly on this? Not sure if everybody remembers Tijani's intervention during our last call.
Hi, Olivier. This is Terry. Tijani has disconnected, and we're trying to re-reach him.
Okay. Thanks very much, Terry. It's Olivier Caipanablon speaking. I'll read Tijani's statement in the chat. The ICG proposal is an assemblage of the three proposals received from the three operational communities rather than a compilation of three harmonized proposals in a single, well-structured one. We can notice that the CRISP numbering functions, as well as the INA Plan Working Group Protocol Parameters function, have clearly expressed their total satisfaction of the performance of ICANN as the operator of their respective INA functions. Their submissions purported that they will continue dealing with ICANN in the post-transition phase, SLE with ICANN and MOU with ICANN. On the other hand, the CWG naming function proposed to form an affiliate to ICANN called PTI with a legal separation from ICANN to operate the IANA naming function with a possible structural, and in brackets, full separation. We find all those details in the ICG proposal. We can notice that the CSC is for the naming functions only, and so is the IFR. If the CSC is not happy with PTI, they, together with the IFR, may ask for its complete separation from ICANN. It means that we may end up with a PTI owned by a company X to operate the three functions because the naming function people decided it. In this case, shall the IRR and IETF accept it? If they don't, and they very likely don't, shall they look for other companies to operate their respective functions, or shall they create a new PTI affiliated to ICANN or part of it without the naming function? And Tijani closes with a paragraph saying that he is really worried about the Internet stability and resiliency under such a situation. He believes the ICG did not do its work, but assembled the received proposals. This solution is not sustainable and needs more negotiation with the three communities to come up with a structured single proposal. The floor is open, and I see that Avery Doria has put her hand up. So, Avery, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you. This is Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard okay. I actually don't think the negative fallout from that would be quite as bad as Tijani indicates. If the CSC and the IFR decided that names needed to change its service provider, it could indeed take the function of names away, yet ICANN would still have its subsidiary. It's not necessarily that the subsidiary would move. I think the subsidiary would only move in some particular cases. What is more likely is that names would find a different provider for that function, leaving ICANN with protocols and numbers functioning as they were, with names having gone to a new provider. Now, having said that, I don't think that that would happen. I think that these things would all be taken as considerations. I think the liaisons to the SFR and the IFR or SFR are indeed in place. And I still maintain a hope that in time, you know, the other two communities will actually switch to the IANA function that's been moved, you know, once they see it as running code. He's right in that they didn't put together a consolidated proposal, but maintained their three separate but linked proposals. And it would have been good if they had indeed created one coherent proposal. But I don't think the lack of that coherent proposal actually puts us in quite as dire a situation as he outlined. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avery, for this. I note that Cheryl Langdonor has mentioned she agrees with you in the chat. I see also a green tick from Cheryl. Is there any other feedback on this? Have we gotten Tejani back on the line?
No, we have not. We're continuing to try.
Oh, dear. Okay, thank you. So that's a bit of a challenge, not having the actual person having drafted this text here to respond or to even hear the response from Avery. Anyone else has any thoughts on this? Gordon Chilcock shares Tejani's concerns. Avery, I noticed that you mentioned the possibility at that point for a scenario, I guess, to take place if the names community decides to take PTI out of the picture and go elsewhere. Is it worth perhaps alerting, in our statement, alerting the working group that this should be one of the scenarios that could be listed out if there is a split in that position? So a split between the names, the numbers, and the protocols. Avery Doria.
I suppose this is Avery speaking again. I suppose it's possible. And it's not that names would take PTI out of the picture. In fact, as a wholly owned subsidiary of ICANN, as it stands, the names community could just say they were no longer willing to use PTI and wanted to use some other entity. That's indeed what they can do. And I think that is an obvious scenario, and it's more likely than they would spin the PTI out of ICANN, because that would be a much more difficult thing to do. So I don't know, you know, how much we want to go, you know, designing scenarios, but perhaps, you know, once Tejani's back online in another call or on the list, you know, we can have a more fulsome discussion of it. I just don't think it needs to land in that horrible scenario. As I say, I continue in the hope that the other two communities will participate in PTI directly and not indirectly through ICANN, but I do not see us being able to have a IFR that does not include their concerns and does not deal with this issue, if that's really what's about to happen. Thanks.
Thanks for this, Avery. Alan Greenberg is next.
Thank you very much. I said something like this last time. In an ideal world, we would have designed this differently, and we all would have put together one unified proposal. We didn't, we couldn't, and it never would have worked if we had tried. We've each had enough trouble and enough discussion and diversity, excuse the expression, within our own groups, that this was about as difficult as anything we can imagine. But we've resulted in three different proposals with three different escape mechanisms and so on and so forth. Hopefully, if there ever is a problem, an operational problem, the groups will not work completely in isolation and simply, you know, throw down their whatevers and say, I'm storming off and leaving. I want a divorce. Hopefully we'll talk and try to come to some agreement on something that will allow IANA to stay as a single organization, regardless of whether it is PTI or somewhere else or something else. So we've just got to put faith in rationality of our successors down the road to do something reasonable. We didn't cover it with formal rules, so we're going to have to take it on faith. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Kapanabdal speaking. And we are reaching the end of our allocated time. We do have the interpreters for an extra 10 minutes if need be. So I think that with Tijani not being on the call, we probably will have to continue the discussion during the next call this week. In the meantime, I invite you to put your responses on the wiki. At the moment, it's desperately empty between the comment that Tijani made and the one summary that I did make. So far, it looks like both of these comments would be significantly reduced in size, and therefore the ALAC comment to this ICG public consultation would probably result in 4 or 5 lines in length, which makes it not particularly substantial. If you do have any other concerns, please make them on the wiki, and we will follow up during the next call. And with this, we can move to agenda item number 5, and that's with the CWG IANA. I've already mentioned earlier to you that the transition is going to be delayed somehow, or we'll have more time. There was an email sent, a blog post that was written by Larry Strickling mentioning that the contract with ICANN was renewed for another year. So there is now much time for implementation. That somehow eases the pressure on everyone's shoulders to have things ready and carriages being ready before the horses. I'm not sure if there's really anything else to discuss in this section. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I don't read anything at all into the extension of a year. We were originally talking about extending for 6 months and then plus a 2.5-year extension or something like that to flesh out the full 3. That would raise the risk that if we slip slightly or if Congress takes a bit longer to do something, that we would have to extend the contract for another 2.5 years and then cancel it. I think the 1 year one simply gives enough breathing room, so we're not going to be in a crisis mode at the very last moment for something we created ourselves, for a crisis we made ourselves. It just gives a little bit more breathing room. I don't view it as anything else other than that, and I would not treat it as an extension that says we're not still working on the same timeline. So.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. Olivier Capanablan speaking. And I was going to add also that this renewal of another year does appear to then completely de-link the calendar for a transition from the U.S. election calendar. And as you know, some people had linked the two together by saying, well, the Republicans are trying to push something the Democrats are trying to push something quickly before the elections take place. Nothing takes place. No decisions get made during an election year. And beyond that, who knows what happens if the Republicans are in power. So it seems to have completely delinked the two issues. And Alan, did you want to respond to this, or was it another?
Yes, I will respond. I think you've just done exactly what I suggested we not do. That is, we've read something into this extension. I think it was a matter of convenience, of instead of trying to agonize over is 6.5 months or 7 months the right time, they simply said a year, done. I still think that if we wander into the period where the election is in full force, we are in big trouble, and this does not give us any leeway at all. It just takes the renewal of the contract off the table and so something we don't need to agonize over. It, in my mind, it does not remove the pressure of getting this done before the election is in full force. I think that is still true in spades. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Alan. Next is Sébastien Bachelet.
Yes, thank you. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. I think it's an important move. It shows that we have time to do what we need to do, and at the same time we need to do in a hurry, I will say, because 1 year it's very short, we know that, and if we want to be at the good timing, we need to have already implemented a lot of Workstream 1 for the CCWG at least, and for the other, I don't know exactly. And we need to have some precise idea what we need to do for WebStream 2. And it's not to give us more time, but it's put us at more ease, I will say, than just to have 6 months. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Sebastian. Right, let's move on then. The next topic is to do with the ICANN verifying root zone authorization replacement proposal. I guess that we've moved into AOB for this, and I hand the floor to Alan Greenberg on this, and the actual text is on your screen now.
Okay, the AOB I wanted was timing of the ALAC vote, which is different from this. Regarding the VeriSign ICANN proposal, I have read it now twice. To be quite honest, I'm a little bit confused about some of the details. It's talking about the secondary, the replication of the IANA functions mechanism. I think it's talking about VeriSign running that, but it never explicitly says that. But I don't have a lot of concern, but it is going to require some understanding, and I think is beyond what we can do today. So I would suggest we look at it at the Thursday meeting and with allowing a little bit more time, and hopefully by then some of us will be able to understand what it's saying, because I think perhaps deliberately it's being just a little bit cryptic.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Capanablon speaking. Could you please forward this text to the IANA issues mailing list so we can all read through it, and those people who are also not on the call will be able to read through it and start the discussion there, and we'll have this in our next agenda.
I think the message, the blog post was forwarded and it has a pointer to it. I could certainly forward the document itself, however.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and then the second, any other business, is back to Alan Greenberg.
Okay, thank you very much. The real question is we're about to send out a message to the world saying we have the first version of the draft comment there, start making comments. The question is, what's the deadline? Last time we were changing the document right up to the deadline and did an after-the-fact vote. This time we have a webinar about a week before the deadline. My recommendation is that we do the same thing, essentially. That is, we try to get this finished early, but that we let the community keep on talking well past the webinar, because there are some people who we'll only catch at that point, and that we try to make the statement as robust as we can and do the ALAC vote after the fact with the belief that after that much conversation, it will be ratified. So that's what I'm recommending. Is there any strong objection to that? Then I guess someone should speak up.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier speaking. You mentioned we have the webinar. By we have the webinar, is that an ALAC webinar, or are you mentioning the CCWG accountability webinar on the 20th?
There is a new CCWG webinar. Leon has volunteered to give an at-large specific one, and there will be a webinar to discuss the statement. So we have three different webinars we're talking about at this point.
Okay, excellent. Good to know. I think we'll probably have to coordinate our timing with the webinars. It's unlikely to yield any response before the webinars are actually taking place. My personal feeling.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's 8 minutes past the top of the hour, and I think we've made some good progress today, so thank you, all of you, on this. Please do check the ICG public comment period again. I currently feel we've got very little on that. Do read the contract or the proposal, verify an ICANN proposal in response to the NTIA requests. And we will meet later on this week. I believe it is Friday. Let's hear from Terry about our next call.
You are correct. It will be Friday, the 21st of August at 1300 UTC.
for something completely different. What a shock at the time. I love spending my Saturday mornings with you all.
Thank you very much for this, Terry, and thank you for this comment. So, Cheryl, I knew this was coming. I pulled my hair out thinking, you guys have never met before midnight
or after 4 a.m. That is not sharing the pain. However, I'll keep saying it and you'll keep doing it.
I think what we're going to have to do is to be quite stringent. And I must take the blame on this one, Cheryl, because I was asked, oh, do you want to have it on this day when we miss X, Y, Z, and A, B, C? There were quite a few people missing. Or do we have a maybe from Cheryl at this time?
Olivia,
I know that
Olivia,
the maybe from Cheryl is the most inappropriate time ever.
Olivia, how long have we been meeting? How many months? This is not a one-shot issue, mate.
It's a one-off on this occasion. Let's take each one in turn. We'll see. You're just reading something into this, but anyway, let me give you some time off, and let's stop the call early today, or at least not too late. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your...
Thanks to Cheryl specifically.
Have a good night, have a good morning, have a good afternoon, everyone. This call is now adjourned.